In this episode of the Texas Private School Podcast, TVS narrowly survives Oak Ridge. The South runs through Bryan. Second Baptist drops the hammer. The Mavericks title hopes are dashed. And a controversial ending to Prestonwood Liberty cements a TXPS all-timer. P.S. Enzo Bingham, catch of the century. All that and more on the Week 7 review of the Texas Private School Podcast. Hello and welcome back to what might be one of the greatest reviews that we've had on the Texas Private School Podcast. An absolute insane slate of action the previous week. As always, I'm 130 of your host, Andrew West Tollison. I join you from the heart of Dallas, Texas. Walker Lott joins us from Fort Worth, Texas for the first time in a long time. Ryan Schroeder joins us from Frisco, Texas. We are all back in the DFW Metroplex. Much better than I can't say that because half of our fan base is from Houston and I can't even make that jab. But Walker Lott back up in Fort Worth. Excited to see a concert with you this evening. How was your, both of your games were in Houston, correct?
Yeah, they were both in Houston. I drove up yesterday and now here got to watch the Oregon, Ohio State and all those slate of games out by the fire last night. That was awesome. And yeah, I'm at a farm. I don't know if you'll hear the chickens in the background, but you might. A deer might walk by here or there. You never know. But yeah, it's a good time here in Fort Worth and excited to be back home for a bit.
Absolutely. Ryan Schroeder, I probably should have led with this clip of the absolute century with the Enzo Bingham catch. It's now been featured on ESPN. Randy Moss has seen it. Apparently Randy Moss is sending Enzo Bingham gloves. It was the You Got Moss catch of the week. I just want you to talk about that, dude, because that is, I watched you cook that in real time. You literally did it during halftime. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I kept telling Wes the entire time. I was like, man, I keep missing touchdowns. I keep missing touchdowns. I'm missing plays. Like, I'm so mad at myself. And then that one play, I was like, okay, I think I got that. I think I got that like really good actually. And then, you know, we at halftime, you know, I think I tried at the Parrish game, legacy game, just trying to get at least one clip of it at halftime. And then I'm talking to Wes and we're like, all right, like we got to figure out to get this out quickly. And then we cut it at halftime and, with the help of Walker and some of the hashtags we were able to put out and stuff and some of the ads, we got a couple of, you know, got it to kind of stretch out to a couple places and some collaborations. And then eventually, yeah, I woke up to a text this morning from a friend of the Big 12. We'll have to shout him out, Kyle. Kyle from the Big 12, he saw my story on Instagram, knew it was my clip originally, and then was working out this morning and had SportsCenter on or had ESPN Countdown on in front of them. I was like, oh my goodness, and like sent me the picture. And I was like, all right, I need to send that to Walker West right now. So that was really fun. But
dude, that was insane. The one thing I remember is like we were sitting there, you sent me the video, I captioned it, and then put it out on Twitter and Instagram. And by the way, I'm never calling it X. I'm calling it Twitter for the rest of my life. Don't care. I sent it through Twitter. I mean, it slid through Twitter like butter. It took like 30 seconds to upload. Instagram, it took like literally 20 minutes of me sitting there and it wouldn't go through. And I was like, Ryan, you try to let it go through. And then Ryan's got his Instagram open for like 30 minutes and it won't go through. Mine finally goes through. Yes, because we wanted to get that out as quickly as possible, because sometimes we know when a clip's going to do really well. And that was the clip that was going to do well. And yeah, I really can't say enough. Ryan, that was fantastic. Whenever you go to games, I don't even think you need to live tweet anything except like quarter scores. Sit there with the tripod that you call that you have?
The hi-hat.
Sit there with the hi-hat and just get clips. That literally like the best in the business. But yeah.
It was fun. I'll from my perspective, y'all sent it to me and I went, holy cow. And so it was a blowout and I was on the Second Baptist side and I showed it to Adam Vessel and Alan Thomas. And I was like, dude, look at this. Look at Enzo. And they were like, dude, that's crazy. So they also got, there was also love down in Houston from the clip too. So that was pretty cool.
I mean, it was truly insane. So now we will segue nicely into the TXPS Media Football Scoreboard powered by Ryan Schroeder every Friday night. As always, the five games at the top part of the left-hand column we will save for deeper analysis here shortly. So we will start with Parish Episcopal whacking Trinity Christian Addison 56-0 on a Thursday night. I don't have anything here. It's a good win for Parish. TCA's banged up. Business as usual. Walker.
Yeah, you know what, Ryan? I'll do the game after
Yeah,
that.
I'll.
Yours.
Yeah, let me.
St. St. Mike's does 36 over St. Pius's 22. St. Mike's, Nico Anderson, Utah Anderson and company. They look really good in district so far. Excited to see how they continue.
Frisco Legacy Falls to Bishop Lynch 28-24. I do need to. I actually do want to look through that just to see whether Pulte played or Luke Lawrence played. I probably should have done that before this, but. Overall thoughts are just the fact that if Luke Lawrence played as quarterback, that's his should be his first game starting potentially for Legacy, which would be quite crazy. Just an overall back and forth game. But yeah, we'd be interested to see whether Pulte or Lawrence started. And it's a great win for Bishop Lynch, though.
Central Catholic edges out Concordia Lutheran 22-18. Yeah. No, we you've seen the clips if you follow TXPS underscore Ryan, I think, on Twitter. Both Walker and I called Ryan an idiot, basically, for taking Central Catholic. And it turns out we are the idiots, in fact. Shout out Central Catholic, the buttons, the rattles on the snake. Big win. D1 South, a little murkier than we might have forecasted.
Yeah, absolutely. That's an interesting one. Moving on to the next one, Austin Brentwood beats Grace Prep 49-18. Brentwood is a solid team in Austin, but I picked Grace Prep because I thought Dominic Van and company was going to do good. I was wholeheartedly wrong in this one. Shout out to Brandon Jennings and company.
Man, I the funny thing about that is Brentwood kids were in our comments talking about Ryan knows ball, and I was like, yeah, I do know ball. Gosh, Brentwood too. Boys at Brentwood, come on, man. Regents actually defeats Grace 42-0. There really is nothing to say about this. I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like there's a reason. Oh goodness, it's not that serious. It's not that serious. It truly. Truly, if you know, like Regents team is incredible this year. Jack Devine is playing absolutely out of his mind. So many assets to that team, truly making their case for why they're gonna give All Saints some troubles heading into the playoff action stuff. So yeah, Regents just showing out in district 42-0 win over Grace Community, West's alma mater.
Yeah, sorry. I just watched Barstool Sports Advisor, so I think that might have had a little carryover into this episode. Too much, too finer. But moving on, Fort Worth Christian shuts out Trinity Christian Lubbock 17-0. Yet again, we've said the strength of this FWC team is their defense, especially with Tucker Ashford at that linebacker, defensive line spot, edge. Yeah, I mean, I would have maybe liked to see them put up a little more than 17. However, TCS always has a really stout defense. Good win nonetheless. Can't complain about Fort Worth Christian. Walker.
Yeah, a game I can't complain about. I'm joking, but Midland Christian beats my alma mater, Southwest Christian, 35-8. Not many comments on this one. This it was expected. I picked Midland because they're the better team this year. I just want to say shout out to Brandon Brunson. I was right in my prediction by, I think, 5 points or 6 points. So I just want to say, you know, ball. Sorry, Brandon, I'm right. But that's it. That's all I really need to say about that one.
Brookhill defeats Hyde Park 35-34. I actually will give Wes his flowers here on this. When they were giving me a hard time about the Central Catholic one, they did say that Brookhill Hyde Park would be close, and they got that right. But that's another win for me in the case of taking Brookhill over Hyde Park. So overall, great win for Brookhill over Hyde Park. That district is weird. And I think wins like that for Brookhill put them in a position to give Regents like that second spot, or to take that second spot behind Regents.
Yeah, Brookhill, I don't really understand. They have not a good showing against Redwater, and then they come out and beat Hyde Park, which we thought, and then, you know, close game with Grace. This all really just tells me that it's Regents and then 50 feet of doo-doo, and then everyone else in that district. No disrespect to anyone in that district, but Regents is just that far ahead of everyone. Moving on, Woodlands Christian smacks Cypress Christian 49 to 21. Ryan, this is now our I know ball moment to say that the Woodlands Christian is definitely the second team
For sure.
in that division. What is that? Division three? I think it's
Division
division
four or division two,
Division
district.
four.
No, division two, district four.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, division two. I'm sorry, I'm losing my mind. But
You're good.
yeah, they're definitely the number two. Santiago Fernandez had a good stat line, if I remember correctly. But yeah, I mean, all the talent they brought in is clearly performing.
Yeah, Bo Ellis, I think, had a good stat line too. So shout out to him. Lubbock Christian with their first non whatever non East West Texas game, beats Lake Country 56-20. They're the team that move up from D4 to D3 and looking like a team that always we always thought could compete in D3. So shout out to them. Excited to see how they do the rest of the time and in playoffs. I just have a just one last thing. Do you think that's a sneaky team to maybe challenge DC in like the semifinals, maybe, and kind of shock someone? I don't know. I'm not saying they could win that game, but you never know. They could like hit them in the mouth and be like, "Oh wow, we actually have competition in the North."
Especially in a
That's
year
fair.
that DC, they're not, I'm not going to say they're down, but they're not, just like Parrish isn't like 2022 Parrish. DC isn't, you know, 2021 through 2023 DC. It'll be interesting.
You're good.
Yeah, we can talk about that later, but I definitely think Parrish is closer to the Parrish standard than DC is to the DC standard, though. That's what I'll say a little bit, though. But
Possibly.
that's a conversation for a different time. Kincaid defeats ESD 42-7. Shout out the guys that were at the that were at Red River yesterday that saw me from Kincaid and immediately recognized me. Shout out those guys. That's a heck of a win beating ESD 42-7. I don't know, man. Kincaid's been my favorite. I to the Kincaid kids and the St. Mark's kids I talked to at the exact same time at Red River when I told you Kincaid will win SBC 4A. I mean, games like this where you thought ESD was like that, and then they go shut them or go blow them out by 35. Like Kincaid just proven right there that they're like that.
Yeah, that could be a BTA moment. Don't ask me to elaborate on
That
that
is,
acronym.
gosh, oh my goodness.
Green Hill beat St. Andrews by 3 scores, 28-7. It's going to set up an interesting game in 3A between Green Hill and TVS. TVS just recently snuck by Oak Ridge, as we saw. Green Hill's one of these teams that they are much better than they were last year, but that's a really low bar to hurdle. Does that mean they can challenge TVS and somehow sneak in to a 3A title game a year off of a horrendous season? We'll see. St. Andrews isn't necessarily the standard to compare yourself against. However, they're playing much better than expected in their first year in 3A. Will be interesting.
And speaking of a 4A SPC game, St. Mark's, I don't know if you would call it an upset, but I mean, we were all wrong. Beats John Cooper 25-14. Henry Estes and company is always a solid team, and that's a good win for them in SPC 4A. They usually don't get many district wins, so good for them. And John Cooper, it looks like it's going to be a more of a struggle in SPC 4A than we maybe thought, but yeah, good win for St. Mark's.
The same, just to comment on that, the St. Mark's boys told me yesterday that that wasn't an upset, and I guess I can believe them maybe a little bit, but in my head I was like, I thought that was JCS's to lose. St. Thomas defeats St. Dominic Sabio 55-0. With all the turnover, I guess, in that south part of D1, you can always count on Houston St. Thomas to dominate in some capacity. It's looking like they're Coach McGuire has got those boys to still be the favorites at the top of D1 South.
Definitely so. Speaking back to D4, First Baptist eliminates Waco Live Oak 52-21. Again, not a whole lot to say here. First Baptist is rolling through Division 4 like a knife through hot butter or hot knife through butter. That it's one of the two. But I mean, shout out to Waco Live Oak for putting up 21 points, I guess. They're
Yeah.
performing a lot better than expected in their first year playing 11-man football, but First Baptist is inevitable.
Hey, Wes, can you do the next game and I can talk about the game after that? The Dallas
Oh,
Christian.
yeah. So moving on, Dallas Christian destroys Bishop Gorman 63-0. I got updates from my uncle, shout out to Mike Tolleson, on the sidelines of Dallas Christian. I mean, listen, Bishop Gorman isn't the Bishop Gorman of the middle 2010s. DC, really, if they didn't shut out Gorman and win by 60, I'd be raising red flags, but they did. Yeah, it'll be interesting. We're not going to learn anything from DC through the rest of their district schedule because it's putrid. But once we get into playoffs and you see matchups against maybe Lubbock Christian in a semifinal game, and holy that DC Holy Cross State
Yeah.
Championship game will feed families, I guarantee you. But Walker, let's move on to a segment that we, I don't know if we'll turn this into the segment. We might, but Tomball Christian Homeschool.
Yes, Tomball Christian Homeschool beat Houston Christian 28-10. I forget what the record is now. I think they've only lost one game. Like it's like 5-1, 6-1 now. Man, this team is good. And when I watched them in the spring, I actually was it was one of the teams who went down to watch for spring ball. And we just want to give them their flowers, so we'll talk about it for a little bit. They're not a typical homeschool team, I guess, is what the if I had to like think a homeschool team would be, you know. That's not them. They got some dudes over there. The Wilkins guys, Owen Wilkins, Jeremiah Wilkins, Houston Bynum is a great player in 27 that I really like. Trevor Parker, the wide receiver DB that they have, was a really, you know, good looking player. Luke Harrison. There's a couple guys on the offensive lines that were big. Like they got pieces, and I know they lost their quarterback, I think like week two, something like that, Wes. And they still look good because I remember watching both quarterbacks and be like, you could go with either one of them. And like in most teams, they would compete with. And you see it a top team, you know, the best team in SBC 3A. They competed with Fort Bend earlier the year and they beat them in Taps Division Two. This is a team that, like, we joke around, but it's seriously like, you don't want to put them as your schedule for a light game. Like for most of these for big teams, then you see the homeschool team and you want to put them on your schedule. Oh no, they'll upset you in your own plays and they'll send you home packing. Like that's kind of how they do things. And you got to give credit to Coach Alderson and the rest of those guys. But, you know, I believe though the whole staff of coaches are all volunteer guys. Like I don't even think it's stipends. I could be wrong about that, but they're true volunteers. They take time out of their day. They go practice on a field somewhere in Tomball, and they just go work. And those guys, like, you know, it's homeschool, so they don't go to school. These are when they come together, they work hard, and then they go compete, and they beat you every single time. And you got to just give credit to this team. There's guys that definitely can go get recruited at the next level. In the past couple of years, they've had a couple guys that went to the next level. I know one guy went to, I think Southwestern last year, the Pirates, I believe. So there's pieces for this team to be really successful. And I'm just excited for them. They deserve their flowers and they deserve to be recognized. So this is kind of us doing that. But I wish I had, if we didn't have our slate for the next couple of weeks kind of booked, I definitely would go cover that. But I know they do their own homeschool like season district. I don't know when that is or when that starts. But I'm gonna guess in the next couple of weeks, and then I know they play Brook Hill in a couple of weeks, and sorry Brook Hill, you might get upset there again.
I don't even know what's an upset. I think they'd be
I was
favored.
just gonna bring it up just because I had the schedule
Oh.
in front of me. That Fort Bend was a shutout, by the way, a 24-0 shutout against Fort Bend. Houston Christian holding them to 10. And then that Brook Hill, like you said, game is in 2 weeks, on October 25th. The district setup is a little weird. They started out their year with a district game against Atlas Homeschool, and then they played Lighthouse Christian and our Acadiana. I don't know, is that Acadiana?
Oh, yes.
Butchering that, sorry. But yeah, those are their district slates. So that Brook Hill game is, it's actually insane to think about that. That's going to be, they could potentially beat three teams in TXPS that have all been somewhat successful over the last 10 years.
Yeah, definitely. So I will take the last game because I got some information. Shout out to Scott Rezor for it. All Saints destroys Grapevine Faith 51-7. Apparently, All Saints pulled out the starters in the second half for the most part. They started rotating guys in at the end of the first. All that to say is Faith's down. All Saints is very much up. However, he gave huge credit to the kids and the coaching staff. I mean, the coaching staff apparently was super respectful, you know, helped them unload and offload stuff after the game. This kind of speaks to how highly I think of Grapevine Faith staff. They are still the only school that, after I cover them in the spring, every single kid, and I mean every single kid on that team, lined up and shook my hand after I covered them. I mean, it's just a really, really impressive display of character from the guys at Grapevine, and even in a loss, I think that tells you, the character of your program, and that shines on Grapevine Faith really well. Shout out to Bobby Holland, Coach Derek Ware, and everyone involved with that program. But
Hi everyone, it's Jacob Bermudez, and this week I'll be recapping Holy Cross's 62-point win versus John Paul II. Thursday night, Holy Cross Knights would welcome John Paul II Centurions in another classic district matchup. The Knights dominated this entire game, first with a pick six from senior Patrick Ortiz, then it was senior quarterback Gibby Alvarado who hit senior Nick Hall for a 50-yard touchdown to put the lead up to 14-0. It was then senior running back Daniel Pettis who had a 35-yard touchdown to extend the lead to 21-0. And finally, a 28-yard punt return from Nick Hall and a 22-yard touchdown from senior Marco Gomez that gave him a 34-0 lead at the end of the first. Second quarter saw action first from senior Isaiah Rice, who put in a 7-yard touchdown to make it 41-0. And then Gibby would once again hit a guy, this time Patrick Ortiz, for a 39-yard touchdown to make it a 48-0 game. The final score came from freshman running back Jonathan Olivello, who took it 7 yards to make the final score 62-0. Holy Cross is now 3-0 in their district and has outscored their district opponents 171-7. They will travel next week to Waco to take on Dallas First Baptist, a team who is also undefeated.
That being said, that will wrap up the scoreboard analysis. We'll move now into the pick records really quickly. Shout out to Texas Private School Football Guy for documenting this. Yeah, in terms of this week's results, Walker went 13-6. I went 14-5. Ryan went 16-3. Bringing the season total to Walker is still in the lead, at 105-28. Ryan is one game back at 104-29. I am two games back at 103-30. So, that puts me in a little bit of danger for performing a choreographed cheer routine at the end of the season. Don't like that, but, I mean, Ryan, 16-3 is a heck of a record to have. I mean, your thoughts, and I'll let you be the only one to talk on basically me and Walker calling you crazy and coming out with the best record of the week.
I definitely, like, the Central Catholic one definitely feels good, but I also have to go back on the two games I got right, but I had the prediction super wrong about it. So the Liberty Prestonwood game, Walker was 100% right. Liberty Prestonwood was as close of a game as you could have had it. Me calling Liberty basically saying that they're going to win by closer to 30 was just insanely wrong. It was actually a terrible take on my part. But great call by Walker there. Still obviously picked Liberty, so I got that. And then the other one I said that was going to be close was LSA versus Second Baptist, and that game was a blowout. So Walker was right on both those. Just want to give Walker his flowers there, because even you can go 13-6, but still, you can go 13-6, but it's still calling out games like that's important. So, yeah, good win for Central Catholic, though. Thank you to the boys at Brentwood. Thank you to the boys at Brook Hill, all helping the 16-3 make it possible.
Definitely so. Pick record is heating up, maybe the closest it's been this late into the season. Fun stuff. But let us get into what we came here for, the recapping of the games of the week, of which there are five. We will start with Trinity Valley at Oak Ridge. And I said, give me TVS and a nail biter, and that we got with a 17-14 victory for the Trojans. This was Ben Nagishu's return to action. However, he only touched the ball 7 times for 25 yards. The Trojans ran the ball 41 times for 200 yards, spread out between 8 ball carriers, with junior Chris Houston notching the only score on the ground. Somehow, senior wide receiver Will Beckish threw the only touchdown for the Trojans, as TVS only completed 5 passes throughout this contest. This game was won defensively by the Trojans, with junior Charlie Buliak and senior Robert Masterson coming up with interceptions. Oak Ridge averages 52.5 points against teams that are not named TVS or Houston Christian. They average 7 against the decent teams in SPC 3A. You got to credit TVS's defense, but also recognize Oak Ridge was never a real contender in SPC 3A. I'll ask this question to you first, Walker. Does TVS rest Nagishu against Green Hill and Cistercian? Can they afford to?
I think he rests them against one of the two. I think he rests them against Cistercian. Green Hill, I don't know. I do think TVS is a better team. They showed it, because I think if you want to do like transitive property, I think Oak Ridge is better than Green Hill, and TVS is not better with Oak Ridge. So, therefore, you could rest them against Green Hill. But, man, I would do it the type of thing where, like, he is suited up, ready to go, but you don't play him. You know what I mean? Like, you don't play him unless it's necessary against Green Hill. That's your prize. That's your prize back. That's your guy. He's gonna lead you to the promised land if you can get him there. You know what I mean? So, you can't use him too much, especially if he's still not 100%. So save him if you can in both games, but I would not fully have him out for that Green Hill game.
I'm going to be honest. I'm going to push back against that. I'm going to say you rest him for both games because my rationale in this spot is he only has 25 yards rushing and you still survive. And we think Oak Ridge is better than Green Hill. I think they can get past Green Hill. And at the end of the day, he's obviously, again, it's speculation, but he's obviously not 100% if a back of that quality only gets 7 touches for 25 yards. There's
Right.
not really a point to me if you roll him back out there and he's still the same percentage healthy and like you just don't give him the amount of time to rest. Again, there's a reason I'm not an athletic trainer or a coach. I'm some dude sitting in a chair with a microphone speculating. But from my vantage point, I think he sits both games. I think if you prove you can beat Oak Ridge without him in a spotlight capacity, you take your foot off, not take your foot off the gas, but don't force him. Ryan, do you have any opinions one way or the other?
I mean, it's just hard because like you don't want to lose any of these games though. You don't want to lose any of them. Like, it's just like it's this Oak Ridge game was close, right? I mean, I know Cistercian isn't really a team that I think would pose a threat that much, but like Green Hill is not terrible. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not. You just got to win these games. You got to make sure you win the games because it can get to a point where if you start playing a little bit too safe and stuff, like you start playing it safe too much, and then you put yourself in a position where you're not the team that ends up playing in the SBC 3 state championship. I mean, that's the thing is like because there is no playoff bracket system, you have to the regular season means so much, so like you can't afford to lose. I don't know. I think if you get through Green Hill next week, you can take the Cistercian game off. I think Cistercian hasn't really posed a threat to a lot of teams this year, but I definitely think you need to. You got to take, not that they aren't taking games each game seriously, but you can't just sit them to sit them in the fact of the fact that you think you're just going to coast to the championship.
We will see. Obviously, people that are much more familiar with the situation will make that call. That's something I'll be watching closely because, for them to have a prayer against Houston Christian, he's got to be 100%. And it kind of depends on, I think it depends on if they're playing to get to the championship game or if they're playing to win it, which that line is a really fine one to walk. But we will see. It will be intriguing. Moving on to a game in the D4 South, Brazos Christian at Haltsville Sacred Heart. And as previously mentioned, Brazos Christian states that the South runs through Bryan with a commanding 36-7 win over Sacred Heart. Sophomore Cooper Murr throws for 200 yards and 2 touchdowns. Senior Jackson Caffey has 3 receptions for 60 yards and both touchdowns through the air for Brazos Christian. Trent Godike, I had to highlight that because we butchered his name for 2 years now, goes for 82 yards receiving. Isaiah Perkins gets 42. Cooper Murr carries the ball 10 times for 87 yards. Sophomore Reed Jackson averages 23.5 yards per catch on 4 attempts for 94 yards with a long of 75 yards and a touchdown. Godike scores the other rushing touchdown. Grown man Brody Gardner amasses 2 sacks, with sophomore Jack Williams coming up with the other. A huge undefeated matchup will take place in Bryan Friday as Central Texas Christian travels east. Walker, this game's going to be a fun one because, yet again, we know much more about Brazos Christian than any other team in Division Four, at least the D4 South, barring First Baptist. Central Texas Christian has had a solid start to the year. They're 6-0, 1-0 in district. This game is closer than I think we would expect. Brazos Christian obviously is going to be favored, especially with it being in Bryan. But Central Texas Christian, who we don't know a ton about, has had a great start to the year. Any thoughts looking forward at this game?
Yeah, I definitely think, dude, it might be like 2-3 scores for Brian. Like truly, I really think this is finally the team that like Coach Washington wants them to be. Like, I feel like that's kind of what it is. On the trenches and the weapons, like they have so many dudes. And Cooper Murr is already coming into his own as a sophomore. He's putting up those numbers as a sophomore, man. And I'm so excited to see him progress. Central Texas is good. I like Cooper Smith, their quarterback. They have a number 70. I forget his name. Starts with an L. His last name starts with an L. And they have some other pieces. He's a younger brother of one of the guys. I forget his name. They have pieces at Central Texas. It's just I don't think they have enough to compete with the pieces that Brazos Christian has. Coach Washington probably thinks that point is probably rat poison and probably doesn't want me to say it, but I do think this is kind of their year finally to get out of the South.
I would have to agree with that on paper. Ryan Schroeder, your thoughts?
I think the big thing for me is like I don't think, I mean, these teams are both 6-0, right? Like, these are both 6-0 teams at the end of the day. And yeah, I mean, Central Texas Christian is doing as much to prove that they are at the level of Brazos. I mean, each game they played, they haven't let an opponent score more than 14 points, you know? Like, Central Texas Christian hasn't, right? We know more information about Brazos. We have ties to Brazos with some of our student analysts and stuff. You know, we don't have a lot of information on Central Texas Christian in total from what we can find on Max Preps and, you know, whatever. But I will say is, like, I think we gotta give Central Texas Christian more credit than what they than what maybe, you know, they've been getting, because just because be the overload of information we have on Brazos. But you'll have to find out on the Thursday's episode whether we pick, you know, what our actual decision is on the game. But just know that I'm not fully there yet for to pick one side or the other at the moment.
Yeah, I'm kind of in that same boat. Like, I'm not so willing to say that this is a big win for Brazos Christian just because Central Texas played really well, especially that defense, as you mentioned, not allowing over 14 points this season. It'll be a fun one. It'll be game of the year in D4 South, I think. But yet again, I'm certainly liable to be wrong. Moving on to a game that one of the two games Walker was on site for this weekend, Lutheran South at Houston Second Baptist. Didn't seem like a particularly close affair, Walker. Any overarching thoughts from this one?
No, not much. I'll start with Lutheran South. Man, their offense was rough. And you got to give credit to Second Baptist. I think their defense was crazy. It's one of the best in TAPS Division II for a reason. They basically locked them down. The run wasn't there at all. And you got to give credit to Adam Vessel and the rest of those DBs for kind of locking down Brandon Robinson. Brandon Robinson did not do basically anything in that game. It's also interesting they put him more on offense than defense. Just a thought, but he definitely played safety throughout the game, but majority offense. Their only spark on offense was a 60-yard bomb to Braden Robinson, who was him who made a great catch. Go watch it on our Twitter. Technically my Twitter. He made this great catch, and then they couldn't even convert inside the 10. Like, it was just like, and then they had to settle for a field goal. Like, that's kind of their offense the rest of that whole game was they would do like a good play, and they just couldn't convert and score in the red zone. And you got to give credit to Second Baptist. On the opposite side, I do think, LSA has great DBs. I think Asia Bradford, Braden Robinson, they have a couple other guys that made them work for the passing yards. I think, Jordan Jones and Colton Hudson got theirs, and they were big time pieces for them. But I definitely think it was on the run game that they had to rely on way more. Guys like it was like a three running back trio for Second Baptist. Senior running back Hudson McCulley, Bryce Butler, Langston Davis, all three of them got yards throughout the game, and so their front seven for LSA is rough, and Second Baptist pretty much exposed them throughout the game, where their run game was kind of dominant all game long. So overall, better team won, lesser team lost. It was that type of scenario. LSA is good. They're just nowhere near the top of a Division two yet.
Yeah, I think we've had Second Baptist slated as the team in the D2 South, you know, since that big win over St. John's. LSA was the question mark moving into the season, but Second Baptist just said, "All right, y'all will see." And in fact, we did see. Ryan, Second Baptist just destroys Lutheran South. The team I will say you did think was the second overall team in that district. Any correcting thoughts regarding that?
Yeah, I mean, to look at the slate that Lutheran South had played so far, you want to give them their flowers in the aspect that they played some teams that I was pretty impressed by. But looking at it now, like, I can look at those teams from this perspective and say, okay, Houston Christian win, yeah, that's a good win. But Houston Christian also just, like, it's SEC 3A has not been the most appealing division out of any of the divisions I've seen so far this year. Hyde Park, obviously, it's a big win, but Hyde Park's been here and there. The John Cooper win, I'm still pretty impressed by it. Then John Cooper lost to St. Mark's. Like, everything has a qualm to it now at this point of all these LSA wins. They're still good wins, but they're, LSA wins at the end of the day against teams that I thought were higher than expected. And then putting 35 points on St. John's, how much of that came in garbage time is also a question.
A
A
lot.
lot of things to consider. Overall, I was wrong. Second Baptist is far and away the best team. Woodlands Christian looked even better when they beat Cypress this past week as well. All that to say is that, yeah, Second Baptist is definitely the team that's going to come out of the south side of the bracket. We'll see the fight in the north side between Regents and the
Grace.
All Saints. No, not Grace. Regents and All Saints. It is funny to think that I'm like the Austin team is on the north side. Like,
I know.
Austin Regents is considered a north side team. It's hard to keep it all together.
You know,
I
we've
do.
spoken at length about how much we despise that. Go on, Walker.
Yeah, I just
Please.
want to quickly kind of talk through this. You know, we don't have to go to the detail, but because of how it is, it looks like for TAPS Division 2, you know, the first it will be probably Regents and Fort Worth All Saints in the semifinals versus probably Brownsville, right, and St. Joseph and Second Baptist in the finals, unless one of those, like, what is that? Yeah, 4-2. So probably TWCA, Houston, Second Baptist in the semifinals as well. Like, it's gonna be one of those games in the semis on the other side. So, we haven't really talked about it much. So I wanted to kind of
I
talk
just, one thing
about it a little
I
bit.
was going to say, I wanted to correct what we said earlier. I thought there was five districts. I guess there's not five districts anymore. There's only four districts this year. So technically, Regents is in District 2, which means the Houston district is the third district, which means the fourth district is the San Antonio district.
Flip it, 3 and 4 are the same.
Okay.
San
But
Antonio
like,
3, but yes, your point
okay.
still stands.
Okay.
So,
And then the first one is like the Midland and All Saints, the whole Fort Worth one. Okay.
yeah.
Okay.
So if somehow SES can get into playoffs, that would be awesome. I don't think that's going to happen, but I think it's funny because there's only three teams in District 3. They have to do, what is that? Most WC points. Is that like interconference point or inter-district points?
Wild card?
I guess that's funky.
We don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't either. I've never seen that. Anyways, on the other side though, we talked about how the playoff seeding for TAPS Division 1 was going to look, and was it going to be like All Saints again, or sorry, was it going to be like Liberty versus St. Thomas again? But they have it situated like last year where that number 2 team in seeding will be on the other side of the bracket of the number one team. So if Liberty hypothetically gets the number one spot and Prestonwood slash Parrish gets the second spot, that Prestonwood Parrish game, if we believe, things happen where Liberty beats Parrish and things happen, you would have a matchup in the state championship or St. Thomas or along those lines. But hypothetically, what we think is you're going to have a rematch of either Prestonwood Parrish versus Liberty in that state title game. And that game of Prestonwood Parish matters significantly, so you don't get stuck on the semifinal bracket side of Liberty and on the other side of the bracket. So that game in a couple of weeks, it has monumental implications for how that season will go.
And what I will say is that, especially after Friday, I don't think any of the D1 North teams are scared of Liberty anymore.
No.
Even there was a pack of Parrish kids there because they played on Thursday. And what I got per source was that, and again, I don't, what I got per source was that they saw that and they were like, all right, let's go. Like, I'm not going to sit. They weren't like, yeah, we're going to win. They were like, all right, like we District 1 teams are very, very much closer than we thought.
They
And I also
they
think,
saw
before I get to
Prestonwood
Ryan, I
droop.
also think that
They saw Prestonwood droop
exactly. No,
blood.
they
Like,
did. Exactly. Like that's it reminds me of something, you know, I basically started screaming whenever we were within 7 points of Trinity Christian Cedar Hill at halftime my senior year, was that every man bleeds. They're not superhuman. I mean, they are liable to lose. And again, that's not Liberty, don't get it twisted. Liberty is still the favorite in Division One. It'd be crazy not to say that. But I also do think this is the right way to do it, especially this year, not separating the North and the South, having the best teams so that we don't get cheated out of a Liberty Preston with Liberty Parish state title game and somebody, a sacrificial lamb from the South, gets put up there to get beat by 50.
Right. One thing I need to say, because I don't think this is written wrong, because I think it's right, and it's not really what we want. According to what this reads on this bracket, and you can go look at yourself on the TAPS website, Prestonwood and Parrish would have to play in the quarterfinals instead of the semifinals because of the fact that District One, so that's the North. The second seed, which would inevitably be Parrish, has a bye the first round. We're going to call it out. Let's call it out as Liberty 1, Parrish 2, Prestonwood
Oh
3. Let's call it
yeah,
as
I
that.
see what you mean.
Okay, let's call it as that.
I'm wrong then, yeah.
Yeah. So Parrish and Prestonwood, essentially, if Prestonwood was to get by that lower part of, the South, which is very probable, then basically Parrish and Prestonwood would see each other in the quarterfinals, which isn't really what you want. They're gonna have to play each other anyways, but is that really what you want? And then they'd probably see Houston St. Thomas on that side, which
Yep.
then means that Antonian would see Liberty most
Antonio,
likely,
yeah.
or Central Catholic or whatever it ends up being
Right.
on the north side, or on the other side. Not
Which
really,
I think that's the best we can ask for because there's got to be a bye round one with the way it's set up. I mean, it's not optimal, but it's the best we can do.
So everyone that I said a lot of things, I was wrong. So take everything I back what I just said because that means that number one's it's not more the second and third seed matters now. That number one seed matters way more than anything. Who can be the best team? So this matchup this week between Parrish and Liberty, who can get that number one seed, that is massive for your state because you'll have to fight another bloodbath in the quarterfinals, which you do not want to do in playoffs.
So what I'm rooting for is for just for the sake of chaos, it's Parrish to beat Liberty and then Prestonwood to beat Parrish. And just to have I mean, it won't be that crazy. It'll come down to point differential, but that would be awesome just to finally see some sense of parity come back into Division One, especially the North. We haven't seen in so long. But that being said, at some point once we get closer, I think we'll do our own little mini episode on the bracket, how it shakes up, and our thoughts. I think that would be good to have its own episode dedicated to it. But that's our quick, 5-10 minute rundown of what we see through 7 weeks. Moving on to another game that Walker was at in Houston's Bel Air, specifically St. John's at Episcopal, which, if not for Liberty Parish, would be game of the week, and then Liberty Prestonwood. And possibly game of the year, especially in SBC. Walker, how'd this one turn out?
It was just amazing, man. I want to shout out a couple guys before I actually get into, the rest of it. I think for St. John's, Shea Quinn looked great. Owen Almy looked great. Andrew Christensen had a great play. There's a couple other guys on EHS's side. Tyler Cesarski had a great game. Christian Houston did good. Rodney Thomas, Gavin Sampson, Tate Oregon, Logan Barty, those were Brandon Thomas had a great game on the ground. Now, overall thoughts. I just want to shut those guys out before we go into it. Overall thoughts. Man, this was one of the best games I think I've ever been to. This was a very, very fun one. It was chaotic at the end. I'll talk about the last like just the fourth quarter because the whole rest of the game, it was back and forth. Cole Allen gets a little bit of space. He was gone. Brody Barty led drives after drives for them to score. In the fourth quarter, it was a 10-point game. DJ Taylor had an awesome play. He made a dude miss, ran up the sideline to make it a 10-point game. He was probably the X factor in this game for Bel Air Episcopal. He was phenomenal in this one. You got to give a shout out to him, the senior. And then, okay, so it's 38, what is it? 38-28. After that, St. John scores to make it 35-38 by Cole Allen. And then on the next kickoff, DJ Taylor, I believe, misses the ball on the kickoff. And it keeps rolling and rolling and rolling down to the 1 yard line. The guy runs back into the end zone looking at about to get a safety and barely gets out to get to the 1 yard line. Okay. And you're like, holy cow, this all momentum is now on St. John's side, down 10, or now down, what is that, five or down three. And after third, first, second, third, they barely get out of the end zone. Brandon Thomas keeps running it. On the fourth down or third down, after a couple penalties, Brandon Thomas gets out and they get the sack and they get the tackle for loss and they get the safety. It's now a 1 point game. Then, so that's, they punt it over to Cole Allen. Cole Allen gets the ball. They drive to like the 30. It's like fourth down and three on like the 30-yard line of EHS. And you're like, this is Baker break or break the game. Cole Allen does what Cole Allen does, finds a little bit of a hole, runs it 30 yards for the score. It is under a minute left. It is 45-38 St. John's. Afterwards, Brody Barthe, and this is where I want to talk about Brody Barthe for a second. He solidified himself as a top 5 27 quarterback in TXPS. He is phenomenal. Not many teams can go from Carson Gordon to Brody Barthe. It is a luxury to have. He is phenomenal. He is so young, but so composed. And this drive proved it. Couple plays, great pass over the middle to Tate Oregon, another big play to someone else, and then the touchdown to DJ Taylor for the win. Oh no, for the tie. It was so impressive to watch a 27 kid. He's composed. He's accurate. He knows where he needs to be. He can move around in the pocket. Wes, like, he is something we're gonna have to watch for the next couple years. He, even talking to guys around her, the guy, the OC, I forget his name on the top of my head right now, who coached Vaughn McKeever at John Cooper, who, he lit up the stat sheet. He said, dude, he's gonna be better than him. Like he thinks this kid is gonna be really, really special. And this, remember, this is his second true start or third start for the season as a sophomore. He's along the lines of Grant Sweeney, Cooper Murr, Nico Anderson down at St. Michael's. He's in that 27 class that's gonna be really, really legit. And so they tie it up after a kick by Jared Panetta, who, because of the penalty on the touchdown, had to hit a 35-year-old extra point, sends it to overtime. But wait, I know I'm rambling, but this game is awesome. You have to talk about it. Cole Allen gets on the kickoff with 10 seconds left. Cole Allen gets the handoff and runs it all the way back to the 10-yard line to ice the game. And you're sitting there like, Cole Allen did it. Like, he did it. Like, he's just won this game for St. John's. And the kicker just shanked it left. Like, or shanked it right. Like, clear as day, 30-yard kick, just shanks it to the right. And all that work for Cole Allen was nothing. And so you're like, all right, we're going to overtime. Let's see how it goes. And I want to talk. Oh, and then in overtime, they got tricky with it on first down, made it second and 15. And since then, St. John's going to do it. Isaac Jared Pineda on the other side, three straight incompletions for EHS. Jared Pineda hits a 35, 37-yarder for the game winner. Two things. Jared Pineda, one of the most ice in the veins kicker moments in a game I've ever seen. Shout out to him. He was impressive. When talking to people around him, they think he can truly be a great college kicker. So need to watch out for him. Brody Partee is the real deal. Matt and Morgan, that whole defense was really, really good. Shout out to them. On the opposite side, Cole Allen is truly the best player I've ever seen in SBC 3A. He's probably a top five player I've ever seen live to make things happen. And it comes down to this, right? We said in the preview that how EHS wins is they have to stop Cole Allen, right? That was their whole game plan. They didn't stop Cole Allen, and they still won. And I think that means they are the better team. Overall, holistically, they're the better team. Great win for them. I also think St. John's kind of gave them this game, to be honest. I don't like to critique, but I do think the squib kick with the 1 minute left is crazy. I know they ran Jared DJ Taylor ran it almost back last time, and so you don't want that to happen again. But giving them the ball like the 35, 40-yard line is
I
crazy.
think that's a play you call if there's like 20 seconds or less left with a
Right.
minute, and how well Barty and them have shown they can drive down the field. Again, this is Sunday quarterbacking. It
Right.
just is
Absolutely.
questionable.
I think that's definitely a play that Coach Veltri and that coaching staff is going to want back, because I just think that's crazy. I don't know what else to say, but I just think that's crazy.
It is.
I'll leave it with this and 2 points. Firstly, I told the EHS student section and guys on that team that I was going to have a written apology for my pick. I don't have a
Don't
written
ever
apology.
apologize for a pick.
I don't have a written apology because it's not worth my time. But I will say,
Oh my goodness.
I will
Oh my
say,
goodness.
my bad. That's what I'll say. Anyways, the second point though is actually a more serious one, is this might be St. John's. The only way St. John's makes the state title game is they have to beat Kincaid, which I don't think is possible. Truly, I don't think it is. Anything can happen, right? It's high school football. If I was a betting man, I would not put St. John's money on St. John's in that one. And that means that for the second year, where St. John's is a top three team in SBC 4A with Cole Allen, one of the best players, no, the best player in your school's history, you're not going to make the state title game. Crazy. And I think that's how you end it, where that is truly, truly insane.
SBC playoff structure now. Lock us in a room with the
Yeah.
brass at SBC. We're not going to fight them like Ryan. Like Ryan's going to imply. Maybe we will. If they say no, that we will. Not one to incite violence, but if that's what's necessary to get us a playoff in the SBC, we will be the ones to bring it. But that being said, Walker, that's an incredibly comprehensive breakdown of the game. I don't think you need any more from Ryan and I. I do say I feel like if these teams play 10 times, each win five, but that game is only played once, and that's why the sport is beautiful. Let us move on into another all-time game in TXPS, Liberty Christian at Prestonwood. I'll give some stats first, and then we'll get into kind of, we basically just need to break down the final drive because that almost in itself can be the whole review. As for Prestonwood, Tekashi Shaw had 23 carries for 102 yards and 2 touchdowns. Receiver Matthew McClain had 5 receptions for 139 yards and 2 touchdowns. Luke Glass went 15 for 25, 233, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Jack Harwell had his hands all over this game. I will say it until I'm blue in the face. He is one of the best prospects in TXPS. He looks fast at 280 pounds, which is a sentence that shouldn't be uttered by anyone. You're not allowed to be fast at almost 300 pounds, but he is. As for Liberty, Chase Garnett had 29 carries, 201 yards rushing, and 3 touchdowns. You got to credit Nate Humphreys, Keithan Smith, and Austin Bandlow for paving the way. Quentin Brown had a touchdown and an insane diving catch. So let us get into the final drive. The score is 30-27, Liberty Christian. The refs miss an obvious fumble by Prestonwood on the Warriors' 40-yard line. A personal foul pushes the ball up to the 12, where Prestonwood lines up a 29-yard field goal and drills it to force overtime. But apparently, Liberty called a timeout right before the ball was snapped, which was subject to a fair amount of controversy. I mean, they kicked the field goal, or yeah, they kicked the field goal. You know, Prestonwood does a thing where they start strobing the lights, which I hate. I hate it, but that's not the point. The crowd's going crazy. But the thing is, and I don't know if you can realize it with how loud it was, but Ryan and I were right on the field. They were blowing the whistles right as the ball was snapped. I don't know if that was right before it happened or right after the ball was snapped, but the whistles were blowing and a timeout in some sense was called. They confirm that the timeout was called prior to the snap, and then Prestonwood lines it up again. And most clutch, Brady Janusek jumps the snap through the D gap and blocks it to secure the Warriors' victory. A lot happened in the last, 30 seconds of game time in this matchup. I've got to shout out Brady Janusek, who got put on a poster now on national television, which usually he's the one postering people. This might just be karma for how many bodies Brady Janusek has snatched through his career in TXPS. But after getting put on a poster, he wins this game for Liberty, like he has done so many times before, maybe not in the special teams capacity. Ryan, you were there with me. We spoke about the Enzo Bingham play that was clip of the century that we've gotten. But in the final 30 seconds, Liberty stands tall, and that's really all that matters.
I think the biggest I we have I mean I it's gonna over the Enzo clip is gonna overshadow a lot of things because like this was Liberty's game. They won. They did everything. Every facet of the game was was perfect for them when it came down to the end. And then obviously but I also need to give or just there's a couple things in that last drive, right? The forced fumble, mix up, whatever that was. The almost interception. I forgot who almost had it, but an almost interception. Like Liberty had multiple chances and maybe should have had the ball back in their favor a couple times. But there's another thing about that too, by the way. Presswood blocks the extra point on the other end to make it 30 to 27 versus 31-27, right? So each team did both. I think the overall thing I'm trying to highlight is Brady Janusik was incredible. I think we actually said it on the space is like he did everything that didn't come up on the stat sheet. He did everything that like you absolutely need out of a player that did not. And we've talked about it forever. That's what Brady has done. There's a reason why Brady played all three sides of the ball. He played special teams, defense, offense. He did everything. And he needs to be highlighted, even if he didn't, score a touchdown this game. Walker talks about coaching decisions and other things and stuff like that. There was definitely some, there are questionable things. I don't want to give, input on stuff like that either, but there's stuff that you kind of see toward the end of the first half, other things and stuff where, you wonder why things were called a certain way. But overall, Prestonwood, coming into this game, I had them as basically 30-point underdogs, and they outshined that, and more. So, I think Prestonwood deserves their flowers, but I think it's going to get overshadowed by some of the other stuff we put out. So, I just want to give the shout out to Liberty. This is an incredible win, and they got to go do it all over again against a team that may be better in Parrish next week. So, it's kind of
Yeah,
crazy to think about.
a couple interesting points from the injury perspective in this one is that Liberty was out without Cooper Witten. We noticed that whenever they came out for warmups, after everyone dressed, and Cooper Witten's, in just his jersey and shorts on the sidelines. And that's not something that we had heard about prior to this. And, you got to give credit to how much of a collegiate-like program Liberty has become. I noticed that at spring when they basically said, do not come on the field until practice is over. And I was asking some guys after the game, like, what's up with Coop? And they're like, the little it's like a robotic answer. It's like, we're not liable to give out that information. That's inside stuff. And I'm like, holy crap. I'm like, dude, this is Texas Practical Football. It's not NCAA Division I. But if you got a former NFL coach or NFL player coaching on your sidelines, that's kind of what it turns into. But that being said, Cooper's status is unknown moving into the Parrish game, which will be a big point to watch. They need him, especially in those five wide sets they run at receiver. I mean, they really could benefit from having him out there, especially on the defensive end. Having him and Janusik back playing safety is nuts. It's a crazy advantage to have. On the flip side, for Prestonwood, both Caden Collins and Tekashi Shaw were banged up coming into this game. Caden Collins on the first play of the game goes out with an injury and doesn't return. So again, there's a lot of woulda, coulda, shoulda in this game resulting from injuries and things of that nature. At the end of the day, the only thing we can really say is that the three teams, the top of D1, are much closer than we thought. This is an all-time game. Walker, you followed all of our coverage. You've heard Ryan and I talk extensively about it. Closing thoughts regarding Prestonwood and Liberty, because there's a lot to say.
This was needed. I think that's the great way to put it. We needed this because before then in the preseason, we were like, I don't know how D1's going to look. It kind of looks like Liberty is like going to be the elite team and no one else can really compete. We needed this to have a little bit of competition, D1, and make it a true storyline going into playoffs. So that's all I will say. I do want to make a point, Wes. You talked about Brady and Cooper back there. It reminds me of Joe Moreland and Jack Esparza from St. Michael's, but like times five, if that makes sense. It reminds me of those guys back in the day.
I thought you were going to say it reminded you of Wes Tolleson, and I don't remember who played
Oh.
safety next to me at Grace. That's kind of a
I
poor
mean,
point on my end,
that's
maybe.
kind of like of course, you know what I mean? I couldn't I've already
Yeah, you take it for granted,
right,
You're
exactly.
talking to a Taps Division II first team all district safety. Shiloh Sander. I don't know if I can say that. Yeah, I'm, no, keep it in. Don't care.
What?
Don't care.
Oh
Don't care.
my
Keep it in.
goodness,
Keep it in.
man.
Keep it in. I beat out Shiloh
Oh,
Sanders, who played like crap against
no,
Kansas State
dude.
for a first team all district spot. Don't care. Keep it in.
That's unbelievable, Wes. Good job.
Gosh.
I didn't even know
Anyways,
that. That's crazy. Good for
I
you.
did. I did. All that to say is yeah, I mean, we and just for a sneak peek, if there is no other episode you watch for the rest of the year, this week 8 preview we have said will feed generations. This is the greatest slate we may have ever seen in TXPS. Liberty Parish, Holy Cross First Baptist, Brazos Christian, Central Texas Christian. It's insane. I'm geeking out just thinking about it. We will have that up Thursday night. We're going to turn around and record Tuesday night, have a special guest on that for you. Yeah, gentlemen, this is a fantastic week and somehow an even better one moving into next week. As always, I have been 1/3 of your hosting crew, Wes Tolleson. Walker Lott and Ryan Schroeder have fantastically been themselves. We will see you in the week 8 preview. See you later.